Do you feel like he's good and hot, bad and hot, bad and not hot, or good and not hot?
So I think this is something that I've you know, undergone a bit of a change over time with. I think I used to be in the both good and hot quadrant, and then now I am in the bad and not hot quadrant.
Wow.
Ooh,
wow. Okay. What a change.
I love seeing all of our sound graphs for the podcast the second Ryan said that. There's a spike on all three of them.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess, the hottest podcast with the hottest basketball talk, hottest basketball hot takes. That's a double hot. It's not a double negative. It's real. It works. Yeah, we're back. I'm Jared, your local Warriors. That's all I have to say.
I'm Joe. I am wearing a jersey with a flannel over top of it, and my wife told me I looked like Andy Dwyer today.
He's gone full Midwest, folks.
Don't you know?
I'm Will. I'm a fan of the team with a top two offense and a bottom two defense, and we are riding that straight to the bottom, baby.
Ooh. And we have Ryan Murtha back. Please pretend we have exciting music for him.
always a pleasure to be here on the pod.
The first ever guest of Full Court Mess, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm. Those were dark days. We've,
you know, all gone through a lot of growth since then.
Yes.
I'm actually 3 inches taller than the first episode.
Will has since put on one
article
of clothing.
I cannot verify that.
Yeah, it's cold now, so I'm wearing clothes for the pod. Sorry to disappoint all our raving fans.
You hate to see it. Ryan, rumor has it that you've been also listening to other basketball podcasts.
I don't feel comfortable.
And that's all you need to say.
That question.
So. Just,
he's giving it all away.
Just tell us one thing. Do the other podcasts ask for lists of your sons?
They don't.
Okay.
Actually, the only other podcast that I really listened to was the Deadspin one, and you know, them closed. So you guys are our last man standing.
Wow. More like Deadspin.
Whoa. Taking out the competition.
That's right. We closed Deadspin. You heard it here first.
Because they didn't talk about sons lists.
Every week, Jared actually sends me a memo to stick to basketball, and I never once checked my mail.
We refuse to stick to basketball on this podcast.
Or even talk about it at all.
This is a pro-union podcast.
Say it louder for those in the back.
This is a pro-union podcast.
This is a pro Tesla truck podcast.
Oh, no. We'll get to that. First, Ryan, can you tell us about your sweet sons?
I can tell you about them. So I just want you to know, and I want everybody, you know, if your name is not on this and you're listening, I feel like, you know, I might get some ex-sons upset out there, but it doesn't mean I love you any less. It's, you know, there's only 5 people on the court. So just, you know, a sort of note on methodology first. I did this roster a couple times, and, you know, the first time I did it, I was going through and I was, you know, and I made my roster and I looked at it and I was like, this is literally just like the 2016 Villanova Wildcats. So I figured it was only fair to like not count anybody that played at Villanova or that was on the Sixers, to, you know, get a little more variety in there.
Ryan hates Villanova. You heard it here first, folks.
And I tried to stick with players that, you know, I felt really needed my support, as opposed to the ones who, you know, were established enough and my fandom maybe wouldn't be as important to them.
Sure, sure.
So anyway, we've got starting five. Let's see, we've got where are we? Okay, all right. At guard, we've got Anfernee Simons. Okay, expecting big things out of him. We've got Ricky Rubio manning the point. On the wing, we've got Juan Hernan Gomez and Jarrett Culver. And then down at center, obviously, Sir Rudy Gobert.
Would you like to include his full title?
The French deflection.
I assumed you were going to go with top 10 player Rudy Gobert.
Oh, obviously, yes. as we all refer to him, top 10 player Rudy Gobert. It really hard not to be able to include best player in the East, Blake Griffin, but here we are.
So, you have to kill four of them to save one's life?
Oh, God.
I gotta believe Gobert emerges unscathed in that scenario.
Yeah, I think I gotta ride with my man Rudy.
How about fuck, marry, kill, kill, kill?
Okay, in that case, obviously, you have to fuck Ricky. I think we're all sort of on the same page there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And then probably marry Rudy, because, you know, we've been together for a few years at this point, so I think, you know, we're both confident we can make it work.
Okay.
I love it.
All right, so now that we've spoken about sticking to basketball, which player in the league do you think has already pre-ordered the Tesla truck?
You got to think it's Rudy Gobert.
Think so?
He's wanted a Tesla all this time, and now he can finally lay down in the back and fit in one.
Is that knowledge that everyone knows that Rudy Gobert wants a Tesla?
I think for his real fans, it's been pretty clear by his play on the court.
Okay.
I will say he's never mentioned it to me personally in our conversation.
If anyone says Spencer Hawes, they're disqualified.
Yeah, you're also not allowed to pick Gordon Hayward anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like Spencer Dinwiddie.
You think so? Why?
Yeah, I feel like he's gone with his like investment of his contract thing. I feel like I could see him doing it.
Oh, yeah, because that's like a whole like Bitcoin thing or something, right? Like, I feel like there's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, if he's into that, I feel like I could very easily see him wanting to get in on this Tesla wave.
I don't understand this truck.
Joe, any ideas?
I mean, I have some ideas about the truck itself, but I don't really know what player would pre-order it.
You know, both Lopez brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty good assessment. Yeah.
Kevin Love. Kevin Love is my pick for the Tesla truck.
Just to pose with it.
Yep, I was saying, just for the Instagram pictures.
He's going to sit on the hood and the entire thing is going to collapse and break.
And he's wearing like a shirt that says something like break windows, not ankles, or break ankles, not windows.
Oh, no.
Tesla, not test our loved ones.
Oh, okay, moving on.
On the subject, which NBA team is the Tesla truck of the NBA?
I was thinking the Hornets, because like on paper maybe it sounds really cool and they'll have some cool features and highlights, but in the end they're kind of just not good.
I'm gonna say the Knicks, because what's his name, the Tesla owner guy,
Elon Musk.
So Elon is like James Dolan, in which he inherited a lot of money. He is now the owner of the Knicks / Tesla and cannot handle criticism. And each thing he tries to do now to push things forward just seems to be an embarrassing step backwards.
I'm going to go with the Trailblazers, because to me, the windows of a car are the wings to an NBA team, and Portland doesn't have any.
Actually,
they have.
They have Melo, which is
not at all contradictory to my statement.
Signing Melo is them saying, look at how nice these windows are. They can't break as they throw the ball at him and they shatter.
Signing Melo is specifically throwing the ball at the second window.
Yes.
The first window was realizing you don't have any room. The second window was like, oh, well, it couldn't go wrong again, right? And signing Melo is throwing the ball again and the second window breaking. That second window breaking was his first night where he shot like 5 of 16 from the floor.
He's back. Melo's back, everyone.
Like he never even left.
Yep.
Because nobody ever shut up about him at any point.
Do they play today? They play tomorrow.
Yeah. Was number seven on the Blazers taken or retired or something? Is there a reason Melo went with 00?
It is held. I don't think it's technically retired, but they said it is held for Brandon Roy.
Ah, okay. That's right. That makes sense. That's good. 00's fine.
Does anyone have handy a list of his reasoning for choosing 00?
I can find it. I can find it.
I think we should run through that.
00. Let me give it a quick little... Okay. So he posted this on Instagram. 00. And oh, the picture is him looking at this list, which is really interesting. So this hood on.
He's still a hoodie mellow.
Still hoodie mellow.
And he's using the hashtag stay mellow with the 7 on it in the post about why.
It should be stay mellow with 2 00s on the end. Stay mellow.
His caption actually says, I will always be 7. Well, you're not right now. All right, 00. A number greater than any assignable quantity or countable number. Symbol infinity. No, 00 is not the infinity sign. 00 without end. Process that never stops. Can never be given an exact value. Simplicity and balance. The mysticism of our past and possibility for an eternal future give the infinity symbol a sense of awe and wonder. Okay, Kyrie. Infinite nature of God.
Can we pause on this one? Because this is the one that's fucking me up the most.
Yes.
There's just a random 7 after that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It just says infinite nature of God, 7.
Is he God?
And I don't know what that means.
Melo God?
He's used that, like, hey, this is infinite 4 times so far.
Yeah. But all of them, up to this point. All of them only relate to infinity.
Yeah, he's just describing
it's
it just in different ways.
It's like Webster's Dictionary defines infinity as, and then nothing he's listing all the definitions.
But this literally says infinite nature of God. God is in brackets, and then as soon as the brackets end, with no space, there's just a 7.
So infinite nature
God
of 7.
God to the 7th power.
7 is
God times 7.
7 is is
I mean, finite. By order of operations, you got to multiply God by seven, and then it's infinite nature of seven times God.
Okay.
That would be what he's trying to say, I think.
We cannot stay away from God without him trying to bring us back to him. The chance that we have a new and great beginning with the past left behind where it belongs. Beginnings or end, which you kind of just said. Alpha and Omega.
Double like zero that. Does not mean Alpha and Omega. Hello.
It's beginnings or end, but it's Alpha and Omega.
Beginnings or end. Beginnings and also the end. So what I get out of this is Melo believes himself to be God.
This is like Kyrie and Kanye's current state of mind put together.
Yeah, it's definitely this like
Melo tweet. Or
Kyrie went to church. Kyrie was hanging out with Mark Jackson, and this happened.
I'm looking at the Instagram post also, and yes, he has "Stay Melo" with the seven as the L in Melo as a hashtag. Above that, he has "Grateful" with the seven replacing the T in "Grateful."
We're off the map.
So wait, a seven means T or L?
Maybe we've been wrong the whole time, and it's "Stay Meadow."
Above that, it's hashtag 007. Let me tell you something about 007. James Bond does not miss his shots at such a rate that Melo does.
If his entire reasoning for picking this was so that he could have 00 to combine with 7 to get 007, it would be way better than the list he posted.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So that's that.
This does lead to me to believe we need to all pick podcast numbers and come up with 13 reasons why.
Okay.
That have nothing to do with the number we chose. Just what it kind of reminds us of aesthetically.
Okay. I can do that. So I'm going to pick 24.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. I picked 24 because I'm currently wearing Warriors basketball training pants with a Starfucker t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I follow.
So those are my first few reasons. Now, I picked 24 because as I look around my room, there's a cat sleeping on the ground. This cat does not believe in God. Maybe she has the capacity to. I don't know. I don't know these things. That's another reason.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cutout of Isaiah Thomas's face lying down on my desk because I took it off the wall because he's in timeout.
Why was it on your wall?
Because it's kind of big and it looks fucking stupid, so anyone that comes into my room, I say that Isaiah is watching over them.
Another reason you chose 24.
Yes. Another reason I chose 24 is because I started watching The Mandalorian.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now this is very important. Because I also like the number 21.
Oh.
Okay. And we sum this up. See, this is where it all comes together, all right?
Uh-huh. Put a bow on top.
Ready? Ready for this? I've also been playing Pokemon.
Mm.
Pokemon is a game that revolves around the number 6. You have 6 Pokemon in your party at most, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to 00624.
Of course.
See?
It all works perfectly.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking I'd go with 13. Just think about what happens if you write 13 when you're in a hurry and you don't leave quite enough space in between the numbers.
Mm.
It looks like a B.
Okay.
It does.
Let me just rattle off a few words that start with B.
Hold on, let me verify that. Yeah, it does. It does.
It does. Mm-hmm. Basketball. Boys.
Mm.
Breath, as in take it away. Balance. Beginning and bend. Balfa and Bomega. All of these words mean something to me and apply to the existence of Bagod. And that's why it's so important that I have the number 13 for this upcoming NBA season. NBA season.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very good.
That's, yeah, I could honestly see Melo taking 13 and being like N13A as a hashtag. Yeah.
Ryan, do you have a number choice for this season?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with number 8. You know, as we all think when we look at the number 8, it sort of looks like a snowman, right? Which obviously brings up feelings of Christmas, which, you know, then leads you to think about altruism and giving, which I think defines, you know, my basketball play style very good as a, you know, a pass first, you know, play creator type. So I think that really is, you know, the number that I would need to have.
Okay. This makes sense. That's very beautiful. I see this. Now,
Joe, that leaves you.
I think I will go with number 11. 1-1. God is number 1 twice.
Oh, okay. Big so, fan here. Okay.
So we're, it's not, I mean, anybody can wear, you know, lots of people wear number 1 just on its own, but I'm wearing 2 number 1s because God is number 1 twice. New beginnings twice, you know, old endings twice, you know, things people say.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Right. Yeah. Alpha and Alpha.
This man is going to play forever in the league.
That's right.
Okay, so if this whole thing from Mel is about infinity, doesn't 8 look more like an infinity sign?
I was hoping Ryan would just say all of Melo's things except like, but it's vertically, but the number's on its side, infinity standing up.
We take infinity and we turn it vertical because God is above us.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Does Portland have an 8 at the moment, or?
That's the sort of thing.
Someone get Melo on the phone.
Me check.
I'm rapidly checking, but I accidentally googled Trailblazers Rod Tur.
Oh no,
folks! I'm on basketballreference.com. That's basketball.
The wrong promo code, Will.
.com. I do not see an 8 on the roster.
Big oversight by Team Melo.
I really think what he was going was saying he is twice as good as Damian Lillard, so he has 2 0s.
But 2 times 0 is still 0.
I really like the whole like new beginnings thing that he's saying also. Bro, you're 35. You're 35. Yeah, you've been out the league for a little while. You don't have much time.
Ooh, wait, Melo's having a midlife crisis. He's going to buy a Tesla truck.
Oh,
for sure.
Yep. Yep.
He's going to be wearing that weird beret that he wore that one time while he does it.
Oh, no.
Didn't he buy like an armored tank when he was in New York?
I believe this, so I'm going to look it up.
I feel like I have a very vivid memory of that. You know, him like
just
pulling
a,
up
just a
that,
fever but... dream of Carmelo Anthony buying a Tesla or buying an armored tank.
I would give anything for this to have not happened and there be no record of it.
I'm not seeing anything, but...
I swear this happened.
I mean, Ryan, it's okay because the mysticism of our past and the possibility for an eternal future gives an armored tank just a sense of awe and wonder.
He has a Jeep that looks like a red tank.
Ryan, I understand how you could confuse the Knicks with a tank. I just found this article I'd like to share with the team. It's from Willamette Week. I don't know. Oh, it's by Corbin Smith. And it just says, destiny fulfilled. Carmelo Anthony is finally a Portland Trailblazer.
Destiny.
Does he mean density fulfilled?
Speaking of, this is a fan base that hates Raymond Felton. How mad do you think they were when fucking Carmelo Anthony's fat wagon came into town?
Oh wait, so I found the news article. It was August 2013, and it was actually J.R. Smith, not Carmelo. But he did in fact have an armored truck that he drove around in.
What is he? Okay, I'm looking at this now. Wow,
I'm seeing that this article was posted on medium.com/talkingaboutpraxis.
2 minutes ago.
This looks like those trucks that ICE have been driving around. J.R. Smith has some explaining to do.
That's where he's been this whole last year.
He's so worried about people taking the pipe from him.
Wait, I'm sorry. Does J.R. Smith's armored truck have a mount on top for a machine gun?
Yes, it looks that way.
What the fuck? Also, how did this only cost $450,000?
What is this man up to?
Oh, he had a coupon code.
Oh, okay. that makes sense.
This is the measures you have to take when people want the pipe that badly.
Yeah.
You think that is to mount the machine gun, but that's where he keeps the pipe.
The pipe is a precious thing.
While you fellas were eyeing up an armored truck, my wife just brought me dinner.
Wow. My wife.
Was it farm fresh, Joe?
Not farm fresh this time, no. No. Just some pasta.
Wow, I don't want to hear it then.
Actually, I want a detailed breakdown of this dinner.
I mean, we're dealing with Radiator pasta here, folks. Do we all know Radiator?
It's the not best even
pasta,
a little.
Objectively. Go to log on. Let me see if I can
log on to pasta.com
here. Let's see, pasta. Googling pasta.com
promo code wife's dinner.
Go into wikipedia.org/pasta. You're gonna get a lot of options here. Let me see if I can narrow my search here a little bit. Radiator. Ooh, that says radiatore, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That is not really what I'm looking for. Anyway,
we really are the new Deadspin.
We'll bring resident Italian Matt Sasso onto the show to confirm later.
Mm-hmm. Right after we just announced that Ryan confused a tank with the Knicks. It'll be perfect.
If an NBA player brought you some Radiator pasta, which NBA player do you think it was?
J.R. Smith, and he would throw it at you.
Ooh.
Well, no. He threw soup, okay?
Yeah, the Radiator would have to be in like a broth.
That's true. I'm going Serge Ibaka, the man loves to cook.
Ooh,
that's true.
Yep.
That's true.
I'm going Luka Doncic. He just loves to serve lately. Serve up dimes, maybe serve up some food for the homies.
That's true. PJ Tucker just went flying across the court not long ago.
Folks, how about them?
Do we have an Italian basketball player?
An Italian basketball player?
Is Melli?
Pablo Prigioni from?
Niccolo Melli is currently on the Pelican.
Prigioni, former
player.
Currently, though, Niccolo Melli on the Pelicans.
Oh, okay.
Is Italian. So,
where's him. Where's Mario Hezonja from?
Hezonja?
Is he Croatian? I shouldn't have said anything because now Brent's going to get mad at me. Yes, he's Croatian. Cool.
Nailed it. I just thought of Mario as the most Italian name I could think of that he came to mind. Mario Chalmers?
Yes.
Yep. Should we talk about some basketball news?
If we have to.
I'm not against talking about other stuff, but maybe we need 2 minutes of basketball.
Marco Bellinelli, also. Marco Bellinelli.
Ah, yes. Okay. Of course.
Zach
Ben Simmons
Levine.
Made a three. Can we talk about
yes,
that?
Yes. We'll start with Ben Simmons. He made a three. Ryan, how does this make you feel? You're a Sixers fan.
I am. So maybe a little counterintuitively, I was a little disappointed. I think it would be cool as hell if Ben could dominate without having to take threes, and it just like makes all the worst people like so mad when he doesn't shoot it, and I find that funny. So I kind of enjoy that he just like refuses to do it. But you know, it's nice to know he can.
Okay, I get that. Like, you know, that makes sense.
Piggybacking on that, like, sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
Just like that, there's, you know, this sort of like we like force everybody to be able to do everything, and it's, I think it's kind of cool, you know, it's like sort of literary if they have this like fatal flaw that they have to overcome, you know. So yeah,
and this
so
fatal flaw that no one else can seem to stop, even though they have it.
Yes,
like exactly. Giannis and Ben Simmons are both. Giannis has been shooting threes more and making them more now, but he still gets that thing of like, once his jump shot's consistent, it's like, it's pretty, it's as consistent as it gets at this point, like, yeah. Or as consistent as it needs to be.
Once it's consistent, he'll get the MVP again.
Yeah, yeah. He's already won the MVP, and there's still people talking like, well, but once he gets that shot, then he'll be unstoppable. It's like, he's there. It's all
right. Yeah, just let him be who he is. But it is, you know, exciting to, you know, because it looked like a good jumper, too. It wasn't like...
Yeah, it looked good. Wait. Corner three, analytically, great shot.
I want to be clear, the best outcome for this is for him to never take another one.
Absolutely. That's
undoubtedly the coolest thing he could do now.
Made one, cross it off the list, done.
I'm sold. I'm sold on this.
Folks, I am furiously searching for a take from the day he hit the three, or from a couple days before. And I want you to know that because I don't want you to think I was prepared coming into this episode. And the person who I'm searching for it from tweets a lot. So,
okay.
Talk fair. Amongst yourselves.
Is it at wildebeest913?
Okay. All right.
Folks, follow at wildebeest913 on Twitter.
Promo code that is the... follow.
Promo code Kyle Lowry.
What else? What? Okay, well, he searches that. What else is in the news? What else has been going on? Rondo is back, which means he's already been ejected from a game.
right on cue.
And then fined $35,000. For refusing to leave and yelling at an official.
I never understand that. Like, guys that get ejected and then they, like, linger on the court. It's like, that's like your boss coming up to you and being like, hey, you can go home from work early today. And you're like, no, I want to stay. It doesn't make any sense. Hit the showers. Take a load off.
You're going to get so much more hot water because no one else has showered yet.
That's yeah. right.
Also, the team, everybody is, knows this. The team is much better without you. You should want this for them.
They do now have a chance of winning.
Yeah. Which they did.
Did you guys see the Kings passed on Luka because Vlade didn't like his dad?
I just saw that, yeah.
Vlade didn't like what?
I guess, like, he didn't get along with Luka's dad, and so that's the reason that they took Bagley over him.
Oh, man. Wow. According that to is so Kings. That's the most Kings thing I've ever heard.
Do you have to get along with their parents? Are you drafting their parents also? I don't
understand. Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's LeVar Ball. Like, I don't even know who this guy is. So, it's not like he's a problem.
I've never heard of this man. That's, wow. Yeah, that's Kings.
What if Luka's dad was, like, difficult on purpose so that the Kings wouldn't draft Luka? Like, what if that was this, like, galaxy brain move to be like, I don't want you in this organization. I'm going to be a dick to Vladdy, and we're going to get you to the Mavs or the Hawks.
I think that's believable.
Dad of the year right there.
Yeah.
Okay, I found it.
All right.
First tweet. It's a quote tweet, so get ready. There's two of them.
Okay.
First tweet. Nice to see all this glowing praise for Bam Adebayo, a 6'9" playmaking power forward who has made 1 3-pointer this season. A clear comparison here being drawn that everyone likes Bam and thinks he's incredible. People aren't as happy with Ben Simmons. Then a quote tweet that I saw get retweeted. Imagine if Ben improved like Bam has. To which, what kills me is it a problem that Ben started out incredible? He's getting killed for not improving. The other guy improved this much and still isn't as good as him. We're giving the worst player credit just because they got better instead of the better player?
That's like, yeah, that's like if I joined the Bucks and I started making shots a little bit more, and the coaching staff was like, if only Giannis had improved as much as Joe, yeah, then he'd be really good.
We're going to sit there and be like, wow, imagine if, like they're both good players. So, like, take another two good players. Wow, imagine if Luka Doncic improved as much as Pascal Siakam has. It's like, sorry that Luka stepped into the league better.
Yep.
He's already playing at an MVP level. I don't care. Like, I mean, I hope he improves, but yeah, Luka, if you start off a lot worse, you can improve a lot more. That's how it works.
Luka, who has actually been a professional basketball player since he was like 16.
Yeah.
He played against an NBA team when he was 16, like in a exhibition or something.
So, yeah, I would just also, with how good he is, would love to congratulate everyone on the massive overthinking that went into Luka Doncic as a prospect.
He's very good.
Yes.
I think, not saying it'll stay this way forward or he's cemented himself there, but this year specifically so far, he's been, what, one of, like, the four best players in the league?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's, like, a legit MVP candidate this year.
Yeah. It's what? It's him, it's Braun, it's Harden, and it's...
Giannis.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably it, yeah. Like, that's the top tier, for sure.
And it definitely helps that his team is now 11-5 at this point.
And he's like the only one playing well on it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How do you think Porzingis feels being like definitely the second fiddle on that team? Do you think that's what he wants?
He's not even like second fiddle yet. He just straight up hasn't been good yet. Luka's just dragged.
He's second fiddle. Like he'll never be top guy on that team. Do you think that rubs him the wrong way, or do you think he's like, our team is good now, I'm fine with this? I honestly don't know how he is, like, personality-wise in that way.
I mean, we've seen him, his personality, in other situations. It makes this believable that he'd be unhappy.
Yeah.
Was that wrong?
I think his experience, like, as being the lead guy seems like it was so miserable that, like, I can't imagine this is, like, not a relief for him.
I feel like right now he'd rather be on a good team than be the good guy on a bad team. But I wonder how it'll be in, like, a couple years when Luka, like, could be winning MVPs and he's like, oh, you're like the, you know, at best you're like the Scottie Pippen to Luka's MJ. Like,
the Kyrie to LeBron.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really curious the other day when the Mavs went and played in New York for Kristaps' return to the Garden, and the crowd just let him have it. And I was like, my first thought was, why do they hate him? And then my second thought was, I mean, I can think of a reason to hate him, but I'm sure that the entire Knicks crowd doesn't hate him for that reason.
Right.
So I really was kind of lost outside. Like, what? I don't even think he really, like, forced his way out of there that much.
Didn't he demand a trade, though?
Did he? Like, after a year of the team trying to get rid of him?
Okay, true.
Yeah, he kind of just, like, went public with what was already in the works.
Like, Phil Jackson tried to trade him for, like, 2 years.
That's Phil Jackson. Oh, no,
a fan base hates their own team that much, and then at the first opportunity, again, I'm fine with booing Kristaps, but there's no way the crowd was booing him because he was accused of a sex crime.
No, I think it's just that he so dared to want to leave.
Yeah, but it's just funny that all of a sudden with that happening, they would leap back and take the side of their team who they hate.
Right.
I mean, you gotta love Bobby Portis and Taj Gibson.
How could you not want to play with these guys?
How could you not?
Remember when Kristaps went home for a summer and he got punched in the face by someone?
Yeah, in his home country.
Yep.
Got his shirt ripped and everything.
That was fun. Remember how shitty he was when those two girls that he was with tried to like calm him down? He just pushed him out of the way.
Remember when he got cornrows and New York Knicks fans pretended it was cool? They should never get to forget that.
No.
He got cornrows? Wait a minute. Stop the podcast.
There's absolutely a picture of him.
Gonna pop on over to google.com real quick. might get the dark web.
Go.
No.
We'll have to tweet a picture of this.
I had to check and make sure I wasn't having like a very vivid dream like Ryan was.
Oh, it's so bad.
They had every opportunity to disown this man, and instead they stand him, and for that they deserve what they get.
Gosh, Kristaps had cornrows, and Nikola Jokic was just like a pudgy little guy. I would much rather have Jokic in every sense of the word.
All right, moving on from
this
that atrocity.
This is very disturbing.
Wow. Okay. That's sleep paralysis. You open your eyes. It's just those cornrows in the corner.
All right, Ryan. So, Ben Simmons is at a three. The talk around the league is that Philly is they're underperforming a bit. The defense is a little worse than people think it should be. The offense hasn't meshed well yet. How do you see this year going for your Sixers?
So, I think they still might be the best team in the league. I'm like super not worried. For me, like, so they've got three of their losses were like, you know, one possessions. I think they're doing fine. You know, they totally overhauled their whole roster. Like, it's going to take some time, but there's really no one in the East outside of Milwaukee that like, I would lose any sleep over in a 7-game series.
Not any team at all?
What was that?
No teams at all you're worried about?
In the East. Like, you know, the West is a different story. But so I think if they don't make the conference finals, like, that's a disappointment. But I sort of would also be pretty disappointed if they don't make the finals this year. Because even though they are like, you know, they're only like 11-5 right now, I think, I still think that they're probably the best team in the league, or in the East.
They absolutely smoked the Heat last night.
The Celtics look terrible. Like, they've got some really good wins.
Also, Josh Richardson last night, did you see that?
I didn't watch the game, no.
11 for 15. Went for 32 points.
Ooh.
In 26 minutes.
Good. On the other hand, I'd like to shout out that game Tobias Harris had against Cleveland where he went 0 of 11 from 3.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants duality. To be Tony Snell.
That is far too, if you're taking 11 three-pointers in a game, that's far too active to be Tony Snell.
Everyone wants to be James Harden.
There you go. Who at one point they were 1 for 11.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're saying at one point in today's game against the Mavs, he was 1 for 11.
Oh, shit.
They cut that deficit to 5 points with like 7 minutes to play or something, and then managed to lose by like 14. They immediately went down by 20 the second they cut it to 5. It was awesome.
Damn. The other day, James Harden had 49 points on 41 shots. Is this good?
The old Kobe Bryant line.
Kobe took 46 shots when he had 81.
He also took 50 shots when he had 60.
That was the one. True. Also true. James Harden on that 49-point game also attempted 22 three-point attempts.
Every time I watch him play, I come away convinced that he is not good at shooting threes, and it's just because he takes so many ridiculously hard ones.
That might be fair.
Like if you check his like career stats, especially once he became a high usage player, like none of them are like really good percentages from three on their own. It's just in context, he's taking all off the dribble threes at a rate that no one ever has, so it's like slightly better. But he shoots like 35% from three.
Yeah.
He wishes he was as good at threes as Marcus Smart. He wishes.
Our king Marcus Smart is a legitimately good three-point shooter now, and we could not be happier.
Facts.
You love to see it.
I love him. What else is going on?
There was that crazy finish to the Bulls-Hornets game last night.
Let's
talk about Zach LaVine also.
Zach LaVine made 13 threes against the Hornets. Franchise record.
Zach LaVine
gotta be approaching an NBA record.
He was one off, I think, for the tie.
Okay. Clay has 14.
Yeah.
I think there's a East side would have like a few people have 14, right?
I think. I know like
Clay has 14. He's the only one.
Yeah, and then I think Steph has 13.
Steph has 13 and Zach has 13. Yeah, they're the top three.
Yeah.
Zach after that it's 12 and under, so
that is three equally good basketball players.
That's right.
Hey.
But are they equally hot basketball players?
They're not.
Okay.
But
just checking.
All light skin. So I mean,
Ryan, where do you fall on the is Zach LaVine hot and is Zach LaVine good graph? Do you feel like he's good and hot, bad and hot, bad and not hot, or good and not hot?
So I think this is something that I've you know undergone a bit of a change over time with. I think I used to be in the both good and hot quadrant, and then now I am in the bad and not hot quadrant.
Wow! Ooh, wow! Okay. What a change.
I love seeing all of our sound graphs for the podcast. The second Ryan said that, there's a spike on all three of them. We were blown away.
Yeah, when he was like coming out of UCLA, I was like, yo, like this guy is the future, like freak athlete, like he's gonna like own the league, and then he has not. So
I think I'm like right just barely in the good and hot quadrant. Like right at the vertices of the whole graph, but like just above on both. That's where I'm at right now.
Right.
I'm sticking with my early season, not good, but hot.
I think he is, I mean, I don't think he's bad. I think he's kind of good. I don't think he's that hot. I don't think he's that attractive.
I think we have representation in all four quadrants on the podcast today.
We are truly a pod divided.
Yes.
I'm getting a wall graphic for my home.
Folks, we love diversity here.
Divided.
We love diversity on this podcast.
Check us out. When it comes to Zach Levine, a pod divided cannot stand. Am I right? Am I right? Folks, back me up on
that's the podcast title for this episode.
Yes! That's
the title, Jared. We found it.
Oh, okay. I'll think about that. The original title idea I had so far was Balfa and Bomega.
It's also
Ryan, well, yes. On an expert of all things Philadelphia basketball, which Villanova players do we need to look out for in the league in the next couple of years? Who's our next Eric Pascal, our next Jalen Brunson, our next Josh Hart?
Okay, so I think if the question is like who's going to be the next like good player from Villanova, probably one of their freshmen, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, has like looked pretty dirty. So I think he might be like a one and done type. But in terms of like who's going to stay there for a while and then like come in and be like a solid league player, Sadiq Bey, I think every time he's on the court, has like looked like an absolute stud. So I think he's, you know, next man up.
All right.
Will, I can't believe you left Ryan Arcidiacono off your list.
I'm actually far more sad to leave Dante DiVincenzo off, who actually
is good. He's emerging for real.
No, I think he's a good basketball player. He's not Ryan Arcidiacono.
Ryan's on the Italian national team. He is like he's like a real live Italian.
Whereas DiVincenzo just has the nickname the Big Ragu. Is not actual Italian. He's Olive Garden Italian.
Yeah, Arcidiacono is not a poser like all those fake Italians in the league. The NBA is rife with posing Italians.
Joe, does the Bucks announcers actually call him the Big Ragu? Like, did that carry over from college or?
I don't think so. I think that's more of like a me thing and like general fans of like, you know, Michael Jordan of Delaware, the Big Ragu, like all those nicknames that he had in college that like came to light during the championship game when he went off. No, they just, as far as I know, they just call him DiVincenzo. He's been with Middleton out, he's been starting lately and putting up some solid numbers, shooting well, playing good defense, still freakish athlete, like crazy quick on defense. I went to the Bucks Pacers game a couple weeks ago and he had a couple really nice steals that turned into fast breaks right away. I think his first bucket of the game was like a fast break dunk. That was pretty nice. It might've even been the first bucket of the game. But anyway, I'm glad to see him succeeding. I'm excited about him. Even if it means Middleton's injured and he's like getting those minutes right now, but he's looking a whole lot better than Wes Matthews has so far this season. So we'll see.
In what is apparently now a running bit for this show, another Italian I forgot is Danilo Gallinari, of course, which I feel terrible about because he inspired that incredible bench celebration after one of his threes where they all pretended to be Italian chefs.
Where is he now? He's on the Thunder?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's going to be a free agent this summer.
Ooh.
I hope he lands somewhere that will actually keep him for over a year.
How old is he? He's got to be like 32 or something, right?
I'm going to say 31.
I think upper 20s. I don't think he's that old.
He's 31.
Ah.
Me and Joe are canceled.
That's right.
Ryan,
see, I was going to say he was like 29, so I was going to... I was thinking he looks young. It's a compliment.
I was really thinking he had aged poorly in the face.
Uh-oh.
So I went with an ancient 32.
It's the highest number you can think of.
pretty crazy that he's the oldest man in the league. Somehow tied with Carmelo.
It's true.
I want Danilo Gallinari to start making posts like LeBron, where he's just like, they thought I was done when I turned 31, but here I am still. It's like, for different reasons, no one was really out here saying Danilo was done. LeBron, just no one said it because they knew it wasn't true. Danilo, no one really, like, just remembered to say it about you. If people had been quizzed, a couple people might have said it, but it just didn't come up in casual conversation.
All right, so I have a question for you guys. Because we all love to hate on Jim Boylan. Not because he's a bad coach, but because he looks like a cartoon villain.
And also because he's a bad coach.
Yeah. But especially because he looks like a cartoon villain.
Yeah. Speaking for myself, I guess. So he, in the previous Bulls game before last night. That was last night, right? Saturday?
Yes.
The 23rd. He had benched Zach LaVine. And later on, Zach LaVine had said that apparently there are some trust issues between them. And it sounds like another thing where he's kind of losing the locker room. Then, you know, next game, like we just talked about, Zach goes off, has a very good game, scores many points, wins the game also. In the very end. The players celebrate. Jim Boylan is like walking after them, trying to celebrate with them, and they take the celebration away from him, which is fucking awesome.
It was great. The video of it is hilarious.
Yes. Does Jim Boylan get to take any credit for this? Because can he be like, well, I benched him to fire him up the next game? Or is he still bad?
I'm going to go with no credit.
Okay.
Because I don't think anything really fundamentally changed in how Zach LaVine played. He just made the shot this time.
Okay. Ryan?
Yeah, I think unless it was like a play that Jim like drew up or something, I'm skeptical that whole like, you know, you're a pro athlete, like you don't need to be fired up by your coach anymore. Like, this isn't high school. So I'm skeptical that actually works.
Fair. Just curious. I mean, I don't think he can take that much credit for it either. I do think, like you both said, I don't know if that's a thing that works anymore. And also, I think he just made his shots and then just kept being given the ball.
It's a good thing they ran those extra wind sprints in practice the day before. That really got him going. I just imagine Jim Boylan is like a high school coach where it's like, guys are screwing around, let's run some stairs, or like whatever.
He looks like a high school coach.
Yeah, yeah. Who's like way too serious about it, and all the players are like, we know what to do, we don't need this guy.
Yeah, so he's keeping the job still, I'm sure.
While we're on Zach LaVine, I'd love to shout out this incredible tweet from the Chicago Sun-Times basketball coverage, where they said, riddle me this, Bulls analytics department. Zach LaVine is shooting 12 for 26, 0.462, from 10 feet to the three-point line this season, and 35 for 98 from beyond the three-point line. That's 0.357. Hashtag free the mid-range. And doing an incredible job ignoring that that's more points per shot on the threes than it is the twos.
I saw every reply to that tweet just said, you know there's a three-point line, right? That shot's worth 3 points, you know, right? Like, every single one. It was so good.
Love to discuss the stats and not crunch the numbers.
Are we ready for the retro take? Because I'm ready.
Let's do it.
All right. This take comes to us from the year 2008 from the website Yahoo Answers. The question is simply, Phillies 76ers? The question asker, who remains anonymous, goes on to ask, they beat the Spurs twice this season now. Wow. Who in hell thought that the 76ers would be this close the playoffs? I thought the moment AI went, Allen Iverson, they were doomed. But it turns out 2006 champs, Miami, is cursed. Update. Maybe they could be Golden State of 2008? That is the full question.
I mean, 2008, Golden State was exciting and everything, but do you want to be them?
Not really. Like
Sixers
a
were pretty same up to this
end
point,
outcome, or do you want to be better?
Once Iverson left, they were pretty much giving up all hope. So I think, like, you know, being the scrappy 8 seed would be a surprise. Okay. So that's kind of what he's reacting to, it seems like. And the best answer, according to the asker, is from a user by the name of Da76er Freak.
So Ryan.
I'm assuming that's Ryan, but cannot confirm that.
Da Praxis Freak.
Da Praxis Freak. And it says, there's literally no punctuation, so I'm going to try to just read through it as best I can here. Whoa, hold up. I'm going to take this best answer from here. But first, I got to say one thing. I've been a fan since 2000, and even though I'm from Miami, I love the 76ers. And when AI left, yes, I was sad, but I got over it because it was for our good. He would never pass the ball that much. And I always knew that this team would do good, and I predicted that in 2 or 1 years, they'll be dangerous and favored of winning because they got so much talent and finished the season very impressive last year, but didn't make it to the playoffs. And this year, they defeated tough teams like Dallas, Orlando, Rockets, Suns, Pistons, and last but not least, the defending champs, Spurs. Come on now, this team gets a lot of talent. They are exciting and want to win a title, and they will reach that goal. And ever since they signed that general manager, I know they will make big moves. Just wait and see.
That feeling when your team wants to win the title versus that feeling when they don't. we actually want to win this year.
I feel like every time during that response I had a comeback to what he was saying, he shut me down with his next sentence. That was a masterclass in debate.
My favorite part was I predicted that in 2 or 1 years they'll be dangerous and favored of winning.
And he was right.
I mean, he was not wrong.
I think that was right around when I started, you know, actually paying attention to basketball and whatnot. And it was not a great time to be a Sixers fan.
Post AI Sixers.
Yeah, you know, we had it was pretty much Lou Will and you know, Iguodala.
Iguodala, yeah.
Thad Young, that was our big three.
A classic big three that we all know and love. Who would have thought Iguodala would be the first one gone? Well, he's not gone. He's just not playing right now.
Gone but not forgotten.
That's right.
True.
Forgotten but not gone. There we go.
Okay, there we go. Yep.
But you were only like 2 years away from drafting the savior, Evan Turner.
Okay, great point.
The ETR, who could forget?
Some say it's still going.
I also like how when he was listing teams, he went Dallas, Orlando, and then switched to the team name. Rockets, Suns, Pistons, Spurs.
He won't list any team name that starts with M-A.
Ah, I see. I see what he did.
Makes you think.
Yep. I'm doing a lot of thinking right now.
Ryan, why did you do that?
You know, it's just
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and ask my previous self sometime.
His username, Da76er Freak, is reminding me of my first screen name that I ever had. It was Da Superfans, because I was a big fan of that Chris Farley SNL sketch where they were the Bears superfans.
Oh no.
Did y'all ever have a what was your first like AOL Instant Messenger name? Or whatever.
I think The first one that I remember was, wow, I was in like fourth grade. And it was for RuneScape.
Yes.
Because my friends in my class all played RuneScape. And so, too, there was a girl in our class that was really mean to me and my friends. And she was really into horses. She was really into ponies. And she played RuneScape also. I made my RuneScape name Anti-Pony Dude. Because at school, we had also started the Anti-Pony Club. And she was very upset about it. She told on us, but the teacher couldn't do anything about it. Because it's not like we weren't allowing her to join the Anti-Pony Club. She's very welcome to.
I
thought you were going to say that the teacher couldn't do anything about it because y'all were out in the wilderness. And they didn't want to risk their mane.
Her belief system didn't align with the anti-pony clubs.
So yeah, that's the first one I remember is anti-pony dude.
Okay.
On RuneScape. Who's
first
next?
One I remember is pretty boring. It was just, I think, Golden Glove 04.
Who was in mind when you made that? Yourself?
Yeah. I liked baseball and my favorite number was 4 when I was a youngin.
Okay.
But pretty soon after that, I switched to Wildebeest 913 and stayed that way for like the next 13 years until now.
Even though consistency is good. Well, Ryan.
Ryan, any additions?
So my original screen name I actually now use as my password for most things.
Ah.
Cool. So if you say it, we'll bleep it out.
No, don't make me do extra work.
Just say it, and then you just change your password for everything that you have to log into for the rest of your life.
Actually, if you say the pod of your password on this pod, even when talking to us, it'll just come across as static. Go ahead, try it out.
you don't have to give it away, Ryan.
He's not going to tell us.
That's okay.
We'll make one up for him.
Folks, that was Ryan Murtha. We just want to thank him so much for coming on.
His original name was Anti-Pony Guy.
Yeah, I was laughing thinking about how, like, well, Anti-Pony Dude aged. Like, you hit a real...
Yeah.
Let's see, about, like, 5 to 8 years ago, you hit, like, a real second wind in terms of relevancy for that name.
So how are you feeling about ponies still?
No, I just figured when, like, bronies became a thing, you're like, oh, let me go fire up the old RuneScape account.
Yeah, I think that's still alive. But I don't use that anymore. I've been trying to change up the screen names I use lately. My Overwatch name right now is Depression. It's been serving me well.
Wasn't one of yours for something like seasonal allergies?
Yeah, that's my Xbox Live. Or like my Microsoft.
That sounds like one of the auto gaming. That sounds like one of the auto generated ones where it's just two words and a number. Like the first one they auto generated for me was Viable Harbor 8.
What is that? Why?
I don't know.
My PlayStation name is Add Me on LinkedIn, and every couple weeks I'll get someone messaging me separately that says, "What's your LinkedIn?" And I never tell them.
The
even
fool.
Just trying to expand my professional network while gaming.
Yeah, I mean, gaming's a profession now.
It sure is.
So.
It sure is.
Ryan, have we lost Ryan? I guess we
he's
have.
He's well and truly gone.
Well, he's...
Oh, no, I'm here. Sorry. So it looks like when my phone goes dark, I can hear you, but you can't hear me.
Oh.
Folks,
he's gone dark. Zero dark, Ryan. On the pod.
Here's what you do, Ryan. You go into settings, turn off dark mode, and we should be able to hear you fine.
I'm a day mode boy, 24/7.
That feels on brand. You exist with the light and the sun and all that is good in the world.
Oh, and we've lost Joe.
And also the Philadelphia 76ers.
So, Ryan, did you have any other names, screen names, that you can tell us?
I try and use Ryan Hoodie as much as I can because I'm very simple-minded and, you know, can't remember anything more. But whenever there's something that, you know, you need like a number or a symbol, I get very thrown off and then, you know, can never again log into whatever that is.
Right.
Sometimes I'll do Ryan Hoodie, you know, with like 2 zeros.
Okay.
Sort of like a mellow. Like mellow.
Yeah, know, mellow kind of feel.
We're on very similar wavelengths there, you know.
I'm sorry for that. I feel like Ryan Hoodie's good. That's like very brand also when you use it across multiple things.
Yeah, it was it started as like a like an Earl sweatshirt reference, I guess. And yeah, here we are.
Very good. Now we gotta find out what your original one is. So we can hack you.
We're gonna dox Ryan so we can figure out his first.
We're gonna take over talking about praxis.com.
We're gonna hack his Twitter account and force him to tweet out the podcast that he was on.
I can manage that. This is actually the second podcast that I'm recording this week.
Wow.
Oh my All goodness. Right,
we're done.
Rub it in.
Whoa.
Ryan, two timing Murtha.
Wow. I see.
I didn't mean to upset you guys. I thought, you know, maybe that would
he's trying to fire.
I don't want you to think I'm disloyal.
It's okay if you are.
Ryan, back with the I was thinking about you guys the whole time.
Yeah, I was like, you know, there was only two of us, and I was like, this is much less.
I'm sorry we can't much be more them. Work for me.
I'm sorry we weren't enough for you.
Well, let's talk about someone trying to be like someone else. Gordon Hayward broke his hand. Everyone wants to be Steph Curry.
I sure do.
I don't remember if we've covered this already or not, but that happened. Kemba Walker ran into a brick wall.
Yep.
He ran into a semi is what he did.
Okay. Yeah. We joke because he's fine, apparently. Supposedly.
Our friend at Boss Seltz was thrilled that he had concussion-like symptoms.
He was. Yes.
He was like, thank God. And it was like a screenshot of Kemba Walker leaves the game on a stretcher. He's like, thank God. It was really funny. Out of context.
That didn't look good, though.
No, it didn't. Right in the soft spot.
But wow. and you know what's crazy? He ran like, you know, speed and power into Semi, and Semi didn't budge.
No, he did not.
Semi, I don't think Semi knew he touched anyone.
Semi has trouble with playing basketball because he has to concentrate on all times as hard as he can to avoid just sinking into the Earth's crust.
And just so murdering anyone that touches him.
He is so incredibly dense. His gravitational pull is incredible.
Meanwhile, that's why he's not very good at passing. Meanwhile, Boban is dunking it all around. I wonder how Boban is doing.
I've heard
Mavericks. He's the dunking. Secret to their success. It's not Luka, it's Boban.
You know what? I'd believe that because he's awesome. Oh, I do want to say that, where are they? The Grizzlies are 5-10, so they're already doing better than what Will has predicted.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of crow I need to eat on Ja Morant because he is not nearly as bad as I thought he would be this year.
He's awesome.
He's been playing incredibly fun basketball.
Yes.
Yeah, he's cool as hell.
As I think Doris Burke said.
And with those teal Vancouver Grizzlies jerseys.
Oh, very good. I did hear Doris Burke say something like, you best believe in Ja.
That's great.
I guess that's it. Is there anything else, anyone?
The NBA released all of the City Edition jerseys, and they're almost all bad.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Or Nike did.
The Bucks just says Cream City on the front, which is
the only
is
one.
In fact a nickname for Milwaukee, but it's not one that anyone uses.
How the Charlotte ones keep putting CHA on the front, like anyone refers to Charlotte as that.
Why does the Minneapolis, is it MSP? Is that like the airline code for Minneapolis or something?
I think so.
And they're powder blue. It's so dumb.
That's
the worst one I've seen.
The Wizards brought back the Stars and Stripes, but put the Dick logo on the front, so I can't even enjoy that.
I think the Mavericks is my least favorite.
The Fresh Prince script.
It just looks like fucking eighth grader notebook graffiti.
Ryan,
if memory serves, you're a fan of this jersey.
I am. I thought they were pretty cool. And then as soon as it got released, like, the entire internet started shitting on them. which is normally how it goes.
Yeah. I am surprised that they're everyone's least favorites. I was just kind of ambivalent to them.
I don't like the lime green kills me, and the like the, royal blue. Yeah,
I think the color makes it worse.
The Mavs and the Thunder are in the same category for me, where their regular jerseys are so boring that I get kind of excited if they try anything else at all.
That's a good point.
But I really don't like the Pacers ones.
Yeah.
They're so busy, and the checkerboard makes them look like they're Kentucky.
I get the checkerboard because, like, Pacers, Pacer car, racing, etc. I get why you would incorporate it. But, yeah, I think they're a little much. And it's not like, whoa, this is a lot to look at. It's like, there's just so much going on. But it still looks boring. You have to really look close for all those details, and then it's like, oh my gosh, that's too much.
There's like a shit ton going on, but only on like one side of the jersey. Yeah, the other side just to be boring. I will say, the as long as it's the city edition, which I think it is, I do very much like the Hawks peach tree jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get as much widespread discussion, but it's pretty clean. It's pretty sweet. It's like black and gold, just has like peach tree across the front. So that was pretty fun.
I feel like all the bad jerseys make the rounds on the internet a lot faster than all the like good or acceptable ones.
Yeah.
You're going to see the bad ones most often.
Wait, what about the Nuggets one?
They just look really cool. They go back to like the old rainbow thing.
Yeah, I love that.
Like a black jersey.
It's definitely like one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Oh, the Hawks one is even better. Remember, it's not black and gold. It's like black and a very light peach color, as you might imagine. So it's very pleasing to look at. Plus, the Hawks are an aesthetically pleasing team, so it's easier to dress them.
What do you think of the Clippers one?
Is that the newspaper font one?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
That's what
font.
So many people are saying. Is that the Grand Theft Auto jersey?
I didn't dislike it as much as everyone else did.
I think they're pretty fun.
I like it. And I think the court that they do with it is really cool too.
Yeah. I like them being brick. It's been fun watching the Clippers like discover their own brand and like a way to try to survive in LA with the Lakers and be like, hey, we're not Showtime. We're just like tough in the streets. And it's more fun that way.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers City Edition jerseys just like added a border around the numbers or something.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet that asked, did they order these off of AliExpress? Because it looks like a fake Lakers jersey. That's what it looks like.
The Lakers suffer from the same things the Celtics have, where they shouldn't make more jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, they're there. Their regular jerseys are fantastic, and they're also way too classic to adjust. So, sorry, that's the price that you pay when you win, like, 16, 17 championships. Just stick to your regular two or three jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Celtics edition is horrendous.
Just make them like black and that's it. Like, just change the color. Like, do a black and a like a like, dark purple or something. Like,
yeah, Lakers have gold, purple, and they have their Sunday whites.
Mm-hmm.
Just rotate with that.
I don't like the Spurs one, and the Spurs one isn't really like a new design, but I still don't like it.
I don't even think I saw it.
Well, that's because it's camo. So.
Oh. Yeah, the Spurs are never going to stop doing that.
No.
They're doing camo every time.
Yeah, they should, though. Utah's is still flame. Because Utah still is doing like the sunset thing.
Oh, I do like that.
I feel like the Pistons Detroit one
was really boring.
Which one?
I feel like Detroit's was really boring.
Yeah, that's I don't like that.
It's just like two blue stripes down the middle.
That's yeah,
the
and like it makes sense, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
The Nets. Yeah, you only get
so much credit for making sense.
Yeah.
Because we all know what your team is. You could make it make it look cool.
The Nets one, I like the sort of like rainbow accent thing on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't know about the whole like saying like Bed-Stuy instead of like Brooklyn or whatever. Seems a little. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean,
are the Nets being problematic?
No, just that like it seems like it's like oh like. Picking like one random neighborhood of Brooklyn as opposed like it's like I don't know
yeah, what's the market for that gonna be
that neighborhood
yeah like I don't feel like I can buy that jersey
I
assume that's where the stadium is but like I imagine like Brooklyn is like fucking massive I don't know
it seems odd yeah I'm not sure, but I do like the design overall. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the Mavs one. Maybe it's just the colors. Maybe it's also the fact that their preview of it is just Kristaps.
That'll hurt anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, they should not be making one of these a year. Maybe for the teams where they've never gotten it right once, but the City Edition jerseys, let it last like 4 or 5 years or something.
Well, I mean, some of these aren't really different. Like the Heat.
This thing, but still... they like make it where they have to make new ones, so they'll make a minor change or something. But just like, I know they want to be able to sell more jerseys, but don't have that many good ideas.
Well, how different is Philly's?
What is Philly's this year?
It's like that cream color.
It was like preseason they showed it. It's pretty much the same. Yeah.
Is it the sweatsuit one or whatever?
It's so. More of a cream color, it looks, I think.
Oh. When did they do it?
Like, you know, evoking like the declaration. So it's like that sort of like old paper and it's like the script on like.
Yeah, they did an ad where like Embiid and Simmons are like sitting on a car or whatever. Like preseason they put this out. They were like the first ones like to show their City Edition.
I mean, the Jazz jersey looks exactly the same to me. It doesn't matter. I can't afford to buy any of these.
For the low price of $180, you can get this year's City Edition jersey.
Yeah, for someone who's just going to get traded away. Unless, I think the NBA website has a thing. If you have a certain type of credit card, you can get like a free return if someone gets traded within the year.
I think you just have to pay for like, it's like $10 extra for like trade insurance or something.
And then I think it's and like free.
If they get traded, you can return it and get the like either the updated one or a different jersey.
Yeah, or I think it's free if you have like an Amex card.
Sure.
Sounds like a rich person having a credit card.
Ryan, any last words?
Punk.
I think I'm all set.
Do you have any shout outs? You wanna plug?
How's Villanova doing right now?
They took the L.
So. Oh no.
Might fall out of the top 25 this week.
Baylor's ranked. They're ranked. They're a good team.
Yeah. They'll be fine this season. Yeah, they're young. They'll get there. Trust in Jay.
They'll be older in a few months.
Yeah.
Is there any chance Jay Wright takes an NBA job, you think?
I mean, I feel like if he was going to, like, he would have by now. Because, yeah. I mean, they've offered him plenty. So I think he just, you know, likes the college thing and, you know, likes to you know, if you had the option to live right outside of Philadelphia, who wouldn't take that?
True. I wouldn't take that. Would be fun. Philly, I don't think so.
The pod was filled with the sound of people who would not take that.
Ryan, you can still be followed at Ryan Hoodie, yes.
Oh yes, please, you know, come interact with me on the web.
Interact with Ryan. Tell him about bikes. He loves bikes.
And he loves to ride bikes. Read him at Talking About Praxis. Whether you agree with him or not, it'll always be the most informative, well thought out, and occasionally wholesome thing you read that day. It's always worth it.
Very true. Also, you don't need a promo code. You can just click the website. No promo code.
If you Google basketball Praxis, he is the 7th result.
Ooh.
That's huge. On God, we're going to work on that SEO.
Go ahead.
Skip past all the Praxis basketball training YouTube and Facebook links and get right for the Talking About Practice Medium link. And that's where you're going to find the content.
But there are very good reads on here about basketball and about other things that are also good.
Want to go ahead and also give a shout out to Ryan's haters, as they've played a huge role in pushing him this far in life and continue to motivate him. They are, in a way, his biggest fans. So, big shout out to them.
And shouts out, okay, get this, to Full Court Mess on Twitter, at a Full Court Mess. Oh,
there it is.
That's where we are.
Can maybe see us messing around in at Ryan Hoodie's mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make one more plug?
Plug it in.
Our theme song, we haven't plugged this in a while. Our theme song is written by a guy, an artist called Culla. He releases an album for free, royalty free, every year on his birthday, which is in April. His Kickstarter is live right now for his new album, which will come out next year. If you want to back that, go do it.
And he's very good also. Culla,
he's awesome. Culla is spelled Cullah. And I think his new album is going to be called Cullativation.
Ooh.
It's a pun. Oh, nice.
Pun? Never mind. No puns.
But yeah, he rules. So find his music on Spotify or, you know, support him on Kickstarter and other means if you can.
And different thinker for us today to end things on. It just says, this is from a tweet I found from at DBBM52. It is a picture of, you guys remember the bagel guy, angry bagel guy?
Sure. Bagel boss.
Yeah, this is short angry guy who got mad because women existed. Picture of him being mad. It says, gonna tell my kids this was Jim Boylan.
And that's classic.
And that's that. Thanks for listening, and always remember, we love you.
Thank you very much.